Natural Health Issues, also Let's Create a Better World, but we're also into activism. And next week we're going to talk about the Great March, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King, 50 years ago. There are activities going on in most parts of the country, many major cities. Check it out in your area. Talk to some of the activists that might know and support. Be there. Learn and see what happened 50 years ago with the Great March. Lots of people descended upon Washington, D.C., and Dr. Martin Luther King gave one of the great speeches of all time. We will talk about all that more in depth next Saturday on this show. My name is Bobby Elias, and I love doing this show because we talk about natural healthy aging. We talk about Let's Create a Better World, activism, the geometrically engineered food problem, the GMO system deal going on with Monsanto. We talk about every phase of health, body, mind, spirit. We talk about exercise, yoga, dance, the arts. We talk about love, positive thinking, be grateful for what you have. A lot of things we want to talk about on this show. So let's get started. Make sure that you, if you like the show, that you rate it on iTunes. Also, for those of you that are not always near a computer, here's a number you can call and hear the whole show. Area 619-550-0869. I'll repeat that at the end, as well as my own information, how to reach me. I'd like to get your thoughts on this show. You can also catch us on the archives. All right, our first guest is Pam Leary. Pam Leary is the lady that instigated and started the first, here in California, where I'm at, I'm in Los Angeles. She started the first, a huge Yes on 37 campaign to make sure that foods are labeled, and I want her to explain a little more about that and about herself. Oh, Pam, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing really well. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you well. Can you hear us?
Yes, thanks.
Good. All right, so tell our people, our listeners about yourself, and how you got into the Yes on 37 issue.
Sure. Prop 37 was a ballot initiative last year in 2012 in California to label genetically engineered foods. And it was the first time this country had ever done something really, really big around labeling legally. I started the movement that ended up being Prop 37 in January of 2011 when I had an epiphany of sorts that it was my job to get these things labeled so that people could have a true market in which to make choices, because at this point, the government supports and regulates things in favor of corporations over individuals to have freedom of choice. So I got in my car and I drove around the state of California, and I started a grassroots movement that eventually ended up with larger funders and organizations coming on board, and then we hired a campaign, and we did a great job, and unfortunately our opposition spent quite a bit of money, and our side didn't raise as much. And so we weren't able to prevail at the ballot box, but out of that, a lot has been sparked. One of them being one of the moms that lived in California was a woman named Tammy Canal, and she was so upset about that, the loss, and then the Monsanto rider, which happened last winter, where in the continuing resolution it was voted that Monsanto and Syngenta and all those companies were going to be protected by the law instead of and be able to plant GMO crops, even if courts told them that they hadn't done all the safety testing that they should have. So she got so angry, she created the March Against Monsanto, which then led to like 2 million people around the world, 400-something events in May. And then we had a mom who got sparked in Prop 37. Her name is Zen Honeycutt, and she created the Moms March Across America. And Moms Across America March, and so everybody was in 4th of July parades for that. Connecticut and Vermont now have labeling laws. Unfortunately, they have trigger clauses, which means four other states have to get labeling before they do, with an aggregate population of 20 million. And we've also got, a little after we got our signatures, Washington started gathering signatures, Washington State started gathering signatures for a ballot initiative, and now they're on the ballot to be voted on in November. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. You know, Ohio, Colorado, Colorado and Nevada are all working on ballot initiatives. They're in different stages. There's legislative efforts going on in New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Illinois, Idaho, North Dakota. We in California will be reintroducing legislation this fall, and if it doesn't get voted in, then we'll probably do another ballot initiative, because we're serious about this. We're going to see it through. So there's a lot going on. It's pretty cool.
That's wonderful. All these states going on. What for some of our listeners aren't too sure a whole lot about what is geometric engineering foods. How are the vegetables and fruits injected, or tell us the basics of what this is.
Sure. Genetically engineered foods are not regular hybrids or things that we've been used to, although you might get swayed by very slick and expensive PR campaigns by the biotech and junk food industries. They are created in laboratories by slicing in genes from either one species or maybe in the same species to create new life forms. Oftentimes they have insecticides genetically engineered into the plant itself. So for instance, with corn, every bite that a bug takes, it contains a pesticide, so it kills the bug. Or they're genetically engineered to withstand multiple doses of an herbicide, which is called Roundup, or glyphosate. And the other thing that's been going on, along with all this political work, is that we've got a lot more scientific work going on. During Proposition 37, we had to keep saying, there aren't enough studies, and there still aren't enough studies, but we have more than we had when I started in 2011. We are getting some really strong evidence from a number of different places that Roundup and GMOs cause different problems in people. It's being linked to Parkinson's and obesity and diabetes and autism and all sorts of stuff. There are correlations. Doesn't mean necessarily that there are causations. We still need more work done. But it's infertility, all sorts of premature aging, hair loss, all sorts of stuff. So, So that's what a GMO is and why we want it labeled. It's right now the main crops in the United States are corn, soy, canola, cottonseed, papaya, a little bit of zucchini. This year we have sweet corn, sugar beets, which can also cross-contaminate with table beets and chard. The canola can cross-contaminate with kale and cauliflower and, cabbage and all those in that family. So there's a lot going on. Right now,
yeah,
it's still in process.
Awful lot.
Let me just
say for our listeners that came in a little bit late, my name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging, the show, and we are speaking to Pam Larry, who is in Northern California. She's the one that started the campaign, Yes on 37, and she is one of our, hopefully, once-in-a-while guests that comes in and gives us the latest on GMO. It's so important. Pam, you know, all over Europe and around the world, I've heard 60 different countries that make sure that foods are labeled. Tell us about that and why, and about Monsanto.
Sure. So 64 countries label their genetically engineered foods. Basically, Canada, the United States are pretty much the only, you know, industrial countries that don't label. Many countries outright ban the growing of, or have a moratorium on growing genetically engineered crops. But we here in the United States have protective measures to ensure that large corporations continue to dominate the market. And many are convinced that our seed diversity is going down and all sorts of stuff. We also have to be really, really watchful right now. Between now and October, there are trade agreements that are going on. One's called the TTIP, which is the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. The other one, even more strong, and what people are more concerned about, is the TPP, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Both of them will impact our seeds and our agriculture, our pharmaceuticals, our internet, our banking, everything. We are trying to raise awareness about this. It's vitally important that people call their legislators as soon as possible, because in October, this is going to be pushed through Congress through something called the Fast Track. Constitutionally, Congress has to be involved in all trade agreements, but there is a provision for the President to just push this through without Congress really having any option to change it. And so we're asking people to please get involved and contact their Congress folk and push for no Fast Track on the TPP, and then to go through and make amendments that protect our rights.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Monsanto, our legislators haven't been able to see the particulars that are in here, but 600 corporations, including the biotechnology corporations, have been given free rein and have given advice and leadership on this agreement. It's really big, like finally codifies corporate control of the planet in all aspects.
Yeah, that's the problem, Pam. I want to get into a little more about how are we going to overcome all this money that's given to all these legislators, and there's so much going on there. What can we do at all? Okay, is anything? What's going on as far as the money? These people, it's going to be awfully hard to get them to vote our way, since a lot of them are paid off and working with some of these devilish people. What we can do about that?
You know they are, but you know what? There are a lot more of us than there are of them. And the thing is that when we unite in action, we can enact change. But it takes more than just sitting at a computer and making a few clicks, although that's really important too. It involves getting on the phone and making phone calls to our legislators. Your phone calls really matter. It's important to sign those petitions online, but the truth is we hear that in many places around the country, the legislators don't even look at those. I still sign them, I still send them in, but I make phone calls, and I visit legislators. It's really important for them to see and hear a voice, see a person, take a group of you in. They do listen. I mean, I was quite frankly shocked that Connecticut and Vermont passed, because I had absolutely no faith at all in our legislators.
Yes.
But I have been tremendously heartened by that, and I am encouraging the people throughout the state of California and elsewhere to get your city council to pass a resolution on labeling, at least, to get labels. You won't be able to get the labels locally, but you will be sending a message to your state and federal legislators that your city wants to see the state and or the federal level to take an action on this, a strong action and in support. If you get a bunch of cities in your county together to all get resolutions in support of a labeling initiative, then the county will be more likely to form. It's about starting small, because we can affect change at a local level. Also, there's all sorts of things that you can do. Change the way that you buy. Our most powerful thing is, the truth is, they are the most vulnerable of any kind of leadership we've had in the past. I mean, basically, I heard John Perkins say we're run by, you know, politically by corporatocracies, but that the corporatocracies are basically the most vulnerable of all kinds of forms of government, because they are the most vulnerable because they depend on our dollars. And all we have to do is take our dollars away. I've been very heartened to see a couple of financial advisors advising people to check out their, you know, their funds, their mutual funds, and to make sure that Monsanto is not a part of them. And they're advising people to divest from Monsanto for a number of reasons, one is which they see the writing on the wall that this is not something, GMOs are not something consumers want. Go to the store, make an, it sounds a lot more difficult than it is, but if you just start with one GMO and get it out of your diet at a time, take one a month, you know, start with canola oil. You know, start it with, don't buy canola oil in a bottle anymore. You know, and then make sure that you don't buy any processed food. Start cooking at home more. You know, there are ways to cook, but it's really not that much more energy. In fact, I heard Michael Pollan went to the store and got his family each, you know, TV dinners, and it took them longer to cook the TV dinners, and it was more expensive than it was for them to buy a, you know, and fix a, like a pasta Alfredo, you know, with veggies in it, or pasta primavera, which is a, you know, a good, healthier meal than, you know, to buy, than buying something that's a TV dinner. Buy at your farmer's market. What?
Yeah, TV dinners are really, really extremely unhealthy, as well as, you know, Pam, I'm told that 85% of all the foods in the major markets, you know, the Safeways and the Bob Ralphs and Bonds and Albert's here in Southern California, those 85% of the foods are geometrically engineered. Things are in boxes and bottles and cans.
If they're in boxes or cans, then, you know, or bottles, they very well do have genetically engineered stuff. But this is also this mindset for us to get away from. Like, I was talking with a group yesterday, you know, it's like we forget what life used to be like. You know, do you remember back when we used to bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school? Many children can't even bring them to school now because someone in their class, if that's in the air, they might have an attack and die. You know, I mean, this is going on in our schools. All our children have these allergies. They have these, you know, sin. I see these pictures of these kids with oozing sores, babies who can't even breastfeed. You know, and it's this thing about what's the difference between real food and what I call a marketing project. You know, most of the foods that we get in the box are marketing projects. They aren't even real food. They consist, you know, they've got 85 ingredients, many of them created in a lab, many of the, you know, all of them, we don't know what's happening. I mean, and one person on that conversation yesterday was saying, too, our bodies are changing, you know. When you look at people, their body types are changing, and many of us can tell people who are on the heavy GMO diet, and the children that were raised on the heavy GMO diet, because their bodies look different to us. So,
What about, you know, Argentina is really bad off. I mean, tell us what you know about people coming, babies coming out deformed and the like.
Well, they've been, I believe that they have finally banned spraying Roundup close to cities, just because a lot of babies are being born with, you know, horrific birth defects. And the children who are out have, you know, major sores all over their bodies, and the women are, you know, it's a mess down there because of all the GMO soy that's being grown and is being sprayed. The neat part about us here in this country and all over the world is that we're finally joining this fight that people, you know, countries like Argentina, India, the Philippines, I mean, last week or the week before, 400 farmers went and pulled out a GMO golden rice, quote-unquote, test plot that was out in the open. Folks in Hawaii, although, you know, they are, you know, in the United States, they're an island, I call them the Petri dish. They've been having working on this for such a long time. People in China, you know, are starting to make more waves about this. The EU has been involved in, you know, fighting GMOs forever. They've had labels for 12 years in many of their countries banned. And they are still having to make sure, because some of these trade agreements might interfere with all of that. I mean, one of the things people have to understand is that these trade agreements take away local sovereignty so that corporations can actually come in and sue you for a GMO label, because they can say, well, you know, people, when they see the label, they see it as a warning, so they're not buying our food, and therefore it's interfering with our profits. People think this is, you know, a bizarre story, but it's true. Go check out, you know, Flush the TPP or TPPExposed.org and learn about this more. But so internationally, we're finally in the United States joining this worldwide movement, and that's very exciting to me.
Lisa, well, you know, in a few minutes, Diana Reeves, your friend, she's back in Connecticut, and as you said, Vermont and Connecticut are doing some great things. She's going to talk about what's going on in the East. She's going to talk a little more about, she has more in-depth information also on Hawaii. And then she's also, as you might know, very involved on the boycott issue with Kellogg's and all these. There's a number of companies that are doing a lot of horrible things. So she'll be on in a few minutes. So listeners, hang on with us. We're also going to talk at the end. I'll talk about the Civil Rights March and what's been happening with that. It's been 50 years since that happened. So much to talk about. Pam, how about your contact information, please?
Well, my contact information is, you can contact me via labelgmos.org. Just go there and click contact. But I'd also like to make a quick push for I-522 in Washington. Folks, their election is going to be heating up. They're going to need help with phone banking, and they need donations badly. So please, even more important than contacting me, is to contact yes on I-522.org.
Say it again a little slower, please.
Yes on I-522.org. And get involved.
Great.
If, even though it's Washington, there are no states in this fight. We're all united. Thank you so much.
When is that election going to be?
It's this November. It's in 10 weeks.
Yeah. Don't go away. I want to make sure that Diana, she had some issues going on, and I'm not 100% sure she'll be on. And if not, you and I can talk a little more. Let me see if she'll be there in a minute. And also wanted to check with you, and I probably will call you after the show is over, because I want to talk to you about when you come into Southern California. I'd like to have you come and speak to our, you already know, health support group, depending on your schedule and our schedule, and have you speak to our people about the issue. You've got lots to say. And I'd like to have either you, Diana, or one of the leaders, maybe we can get to Washington. You can give me some information about somebody in Washington that we can speak to up north about what's happening with the campaign so we can help push that, support it, and I'll keep Gary Noe informed and his staff so we can all support it, because as you probably know, Gary Noe in New York is really, really hot, big on the street. He's got a film called Seeds of Death, and that film is just immense. He's using that as a organizing tool. But let's see if Diana is back yet. If she's not, we can continue to talk. Diana, are you there?
I'm here, Bobby. Thank you for having me on today. Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm fine, Diana. Can I just say one more thing, Bobby?
Please, go ahead.
I am actually in Los Angeles speaking today at the Seed Freedom Expo. There are folks in Los Angeles that are kicking off an endeavor to get GMO plantings of grasses and stuff like that banned in Los Angeles. So that'll be in Venice, at the high school in Venice. I'm sorry I don't have the address in front of me. But, come out.
You said at Venice High School, right?
Yeah, from 4 o'clock to 7:30, there'll be, I'll be speaking, David King will be speaking. We've heard there might be a rumor that Vandana Shiva might even show up, but I'm not counting on that. But,
Tell us a little bit about the two people besides yourself.
David King is a master gardener in Los Angeles and is very involved in educating and doing outreach with people around seeds and growing stuff and creating great gardens. I'm going to be speaking. Nisha Varda will be speaking. She's one of the producers of GMO OMG, which will be premiering here in Los Angeles on September 17th. Great film by a young filmmaker named Jeremy Seifert. And I'm not aware of the other folks that are speaking. I think one of the city council members will be speaking, one of the ones who's going to be championing the law. There will be booths out there, probably some good, you know, healthy food. It should be a lot of fun. Starts at 4 at the Venice High School.
From 6 o'clock till 7:30, you said?
4 o'clock till 7:30.
4 to 7:30. I'll be there. Good.
Okay,
thanks
cool.
for that information. But I do want to call you as soon as the show is over about some other things going on in L.A.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, thank you so much. You're wonderful.
Yeah, you too. It's good to hear your voice, Diana. We need to connect again.
Absolutely. Let's talk soon.
Okay, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was great. Oh, boy. What a great, lots of information. Diana, thank you for calling in. And I'll want, first of all, to introduce you. Diana Reed is in Connecticut, an activist. And Diana, tell us your story about your family and what happened and how you got involved with this issue. A little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I remember reading about GMOs in the mid-1990s, and it was a short article, and it said that the FDA had concerns about potential allergenicity and other reactions, or people had concerns, actually. I don't think it was specifically the FDA that was mentioned in that article. But I remember tucking that thought away and thinking, well, we need to keep an eye on this and see what happens over the next 20 years or so, who knows, maybe sooner. And during the years that ensued after that, my family was diagnosed, 4 out of 5 of us, with autoimmune disease. We have 4 members that have celiac disease and 3 of us that have Hashimoto's autoimmune hypothyroidism. And doing a lot of reading, I've seen that there have been connections made between GMOs and autoimmune disease. So I've tried, you know, very carefully to keep our diets as clean as possible. And for a long while, we felt much better after we removed the gluten and then the dairy and then the soy. And then I got into a period where I had probably close to a year where no matter what I did, I didn't seem to feel well. And I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, and I had digestive problems, and my body temperature was low. I had brain fog. I had horrible food sensitivities, as well as this horrible taste in my mouth in the morning when I woke up. And I couldn't figure out what could possibly be causing this, because I was eating so clean. And I was so meticulous with, you know, avoiding GMOs as well. And it turned out that there were GMOs in some of the supplements and the vitamins I was taking. And once I figured that out and stopped taking them, within 3 weeks, my body started to make a miraculous recovery. So from a personal standpoint, I know that GMOs can make you sick. And despite what the industry will tell you, they'll tell you there's never been a documented case of anyone getting sick from GMOs. The reason that they're able to get away with that is because there haven't been studies done. There haven't been any human feeding trials, no long-term testing. There have been 2 recent studies that were done which did show that there was harm to animals, and the industry went full out to try and discredit those studies. So I can tell you what my symptoms were. I can't tell you what the physiological reaction in my body was, because there really hasn't been enough medical testing and studies to be able to pinpoint those reactions. I'm at the point now where my house is GMO-free, my supplements are GMO-free, and I am doing incredibly well. My energy level has returned to normal, and my general health is great. And, you know, people say that premature aging is linked to GMOs. Well, I can tell you that, you know, for my body, that definitely was the case, because I'm seeing improvements, you know, in my physical appearance as well.
Wow, that is enormous. That is something, exactly why I, along with many people here in Southern California, are fighting for against this monster, Monsanto, and the geometric engineered foods. They're just destroying our people, our world, our health. In Argentina, it's terrible down there. But let's get to the next thing here. The East, Connecticut and Vermont. Tell us what happened over the past number of months in the election, et cetera, please.
We're making very big progress on the East Coast now. It's really heartwarming. In Connecticut was the first state to pass a GMO labeling law, and that happened during the last legislative session. It wasn't easy. There was, you know, a lot of pushing back from industry, but they did it. And I have to say, hats off to the team that worked pretty much round the clock on that bill. One of the things about the bill, though, is that there is a trigger clause, which really is understandable, because every time someone tries to pass legislation, there's the threat of a lawsuit from industry. And you can understand why states don't want to go it alone. So in the Connecticut bill, I believe there's a trigger clause that requires 4 additional states in New England to pass similar legislation for the bill to actually take effect. And so far, Maine has passed legislation, and Vermont, their bill made it through the House, and in January it will come before the Senate for a vote. and it looks very, very positive that Vermont will also pass. And there are also bills which are being worked on in the state of New York, and that is starting to look more promising, as well as Pennsylvania, New Hampshire. You know, it's all starting to happen and finally starting to come together.
Wow. Diana, make sure you, you know, in a month from now, I'd like to have you on again, and let us know at that time, please, the latest on the, some of the big states in the East, and also any major events coming up that our people need to know to support this strong, strong issue. So the next question I have for you is Honolulu. There's some major things going on that Pam briefly talked about it, but you and I talked about it a few days ago, and I'd like to have you give our listeners what's going on in Hawaii.
There are two Hawaiian islands that are actually in the news these days, and you know, first and foremost is the island of Kauai. And on that island, there actually is a lawsuit. I believe it's against Syngenta. I'm not 100% positive, but there are four chemical companies on the island that are growing GMOs. Dow, Syngenta, Pioneer, and BASF are there. And those companies have been spraying restricted-use pesticides, and there has been no transparency and pretty much no accountability once again. And one of the things that's going on in Kauai is this lawsuit because there's a middle school. It's Waimea Canyon Middle School, and they did indoor air quality testing, and they did water testing, and they found four restricted-use pesticides inside the school in the indoor air, and they also found atrazine in the water, which is extremely disturbing. And the children were getting sick, and you know, the families in the surrounding areas have been having health problems as well. So this bill, which is going to come before committee, I believe, on September 9th, is Bill 2491, and it has many, many clauses in it, but one of the ones is that there needs to be transparency so that when these chemical companies are spraying, they need to be held accountable for how much they're spraying, for which chemicals they're spraying, when they're spraying, and where they're spraying. Because part of the problem with these restricted-use pesticides is that they're extremely volatile. And once you get, you know, a little bit of wind, they travel on dust. And many of the families are having problems. They're afraid to open the windows in their homes because they're finding this dust, which is toxic. One of the chemicals is called dicamba, and it's extremely volatile. And they're finding it in the toasters in their home and on the counters in their kitchen. And they're petrified because it's, you know, it's toxic stuff. That's why it's called restricted-use pesticides. So they're also fighting to have buffer zones between the fields and the schools and the hospitals and the residential areas. Initially, they wanted a buffer zone much larger, but the bill has a requirement of 500 feet between the fields and, you know, the schools and hospitals and whatnot. So that, you know, at least there is some buffer zone in between. Because right now, I don't believe there is a requirement. So on top of that, they're also going to, I think, ask for any new experimental field trials of GMOs to be conducted in greenhouses or in bubbles so that they're not open air testing, so that the genes from those experimental crops don't get released into the environment and can't contaminate and cross-pollinate with things that are being grown otherwise on the island. But the bill really is about, you know, people's rights. It's about human rights and human health and safety, as well as environmental safety and environmental health, because it's taking its toll, you know, on the island. And there's a wonderful website that people can go to if they'd like to learn more about what's going on. It's called stoppoisoningparadise.org, and the full text of the bill is available there, as well as a donate button, because they really, really do need help financially. So if anyone can see their way clear to make a donation, any small donation would be helpful. They're trying to fund the cost of flying scientists to the island to testify on September 9th, as well as, you know, the cost of educational materials.
Wow, that is great. Yeah, I'm taking notes on some of the things that you and Pam have been telling me, and I want to get this information to our New York office of the Progressive Radio Network. There are other radio shows that might be interested, and also Gary Null, of course, the owner of the station and the man that runs it all, and his producers. I want to let some of them know what's going on, in, not only in California but around the country, and make sure that it's, the information is getting out there. Now, for those of you that just are tuning in a little bit late, my name is Bobby Elias. This show is called Let's Create a Better World, And next week we're going to really get into the Civil Rights March of 50 years ago, where we're into activism, every phase of health, body, mind, spirit, exercise. We also into the geometrically engineered food issue that Pam spoke earlier about, and we're now speaking to Diana Reeves in, from Connecticut, who does so many things, as you can tell, and is a real, real, we're gradually making her and Pam and one or two other people in the GMO issue, against Monsanto, I should say, to get on this radio show and let people know about it. It's such an important issue. Let's finish up in the next 5 minutes. Diana, give us what's going on with the boycott.
Well, I would love to tell you what's going on with the boycott. We are making amazing progress with our boycott of the Kellogg's company. While we believe that labeling is a critical part of the equation, and it is, because without a label, there's no audit trail, so to speak. That's my previous life talking. I was a CPA in my previous life. There's no traceability, there's no accountability, and there's no liability. And they like it like that. But we believe that we also have very much power. We have power to speak with our wallets and our dollars. And equal importance should be placed on consumer rejection. This is how GMOs were kept out of the food supply in Europe. They had some help over there from Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, and unfortunately we're here on our own, but we have been making progress getting the word out. We've been speaking with our wallets. If we won't buy it, they won't be able to sell it. So while we tell everyone that they should avoid all foods that contain GMOs, we know that this can be overwhelming because we're at the point where 80% or more of what's on the grocery store shelves contains GMOs. So many people are paralyzed when they hear that, and they don't know what to do. So at GMO Free USA, what we're doing is a targeted, strategic, and focused boycott. And we started with Kellogg's just over a year ago. We did add Gerber, by the way, so if everyone could avoid their products as well, that would be great. But why did we choose Kellogg's as our first boycott? There are several reasons. We chose Kellogg's because they've been an American icon for over 100 years, and the company should be a leader. They should stand up, and they should do the right thing. And Kellogg's is a company that likes to associate their products with a wholesome family image, and they market them primarily and directly to children. And for me, I have a big problem with that because I lost my first child to cancer, and I'm very, very sensitive to anyone that puts children at risk. And that's what I believe is happening here with these untested GMOs in our food supply that are being marketed to children. Kellogg's also sells these same products in countries that have GMO labeling laws, but with no GMOs, so we know they can do it. And the last reason is that Kellogg's does not like transparency. They don't want you to know their products contain GMOs. They contributed almost $800,000 to the propaganda campaign that narrowly defeated Proposition 37 to label GMOs in California last November. And they'll tell you labeling will cost you money and the price of your food will go up by $400 a year. But this is just a lie. We priced cornflakes, for example, around the world before Prop 37, before the vote, and we found that in many countries that have labeling laws in place, cornflakes are actually cheaper and no GMO. So with all of that, if you call Kellogg's and you ask them if they have GMOs in their products, you'll find that they may give you a different answer every time you call. And we wanted to know for sure, so we sent a box of Fruit Loops to a lab for testing, and we got the results back, and Fruit Loops were tested at 100% GMO corn and 100% GMO soy, and since the sugar in there is derived from sugar beet, and just about all of the U.S. sugar beet supply is GMO, we can assume the sugar is also GMO.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable. So much information. We need to get this out to this country because this country lacks and is behind mainly Diana, because the corporations and the legislators and the whole government are so pretty handing each other money to do this and do that. Do they care about what we eat and about our children? No. And that is so sad and so bad. But you know what, Diana? What you're doing, what Pam's doing, and what Pam's doing on this radio show, as well as so many great people around across this country, we're going to start winning. We've already won two states, right? And we've got a lot of them, as Pam said earlier, there's a lot of states in the Midwest and all over the country that are going to be good going in the ballot. And we're going to start supporting, Pam and I are going to start supporting Washington up north. We're going to try to promote that and let people know that they need money, they need help. The state of Washington is going to have their election coming up in a few months. And there's just so much to talk about, Diana. Diana, let's get your contact information for all of our people, please, and any more last words or announcements. Go right ahead.
I guess my last word about Kellogg's, I would just like to let everyone know that after 3 months, or not 3 months, after the first quarter of this year, which was about 9 months, their quarterly earnings report showed that their sales were slumping. Their sales were up over the prior year, but they were lower than forecast. Now, as of the second quarter this year, which was just released on August 1st, their sales are down. In the U.S., their cereal sales were down 3.3%, and their snack sales were down 3.2%. So we are winning this war, and we are going to absolutely change the food system. So I can be reached through our website, which is gmofreeusa.org. And there's a contact us button, so you can send a request through the website, or I can be reached if anyone wants to email me at gmofreeusa@gmail.com. And we can be found on Facebook. We have a GMO Free USA Facebook page, as well as a Facebook group, which is a closed group. But everyone is invited to request to join the group.
Give me 2 or 3 minutes, final thoughts and inspiration and motivation for our people to get involved, because such an important issue. Please.
I would encourage everyone, you know, to spread the word about the boycott, to educate, reach out and, you know, talk with friends about GMOs. And it's not just the genetic engineering aspect that we need to talk about, but it's also the fact that these things have been engineered to resist being sprayed with chemicals. And Roundup is a very, very toxic chemical. The most recent scientific studies that have come out on the toxicity of Roundup have linked it to many, many horrible diseases, including breast cancer, digestive inflammation, body inflammation, which is linked to a whole host of diseases, including Parkinson's disease and leukemia, I believe. Actually, I take that back. Leukemia is linked to the BT toxins, which are found in the pesticide corn. But I think just to get the discussion going and speak to people and educate them and open their eyes and at least plant a seed so that they can start thinking about that this is a problem, so that the next time, you know, they hear about it, they'll be more open to listening and learning to developing consumer rejection of GMOs in our country. I encourage everyone to support all of your local initiatives, whether it's a state level bill to label GMOs or your ballot initiatives in Washington. And I believe there's another one coming up. I want to say it's in Illinois or Ohio. I'm not exactly sure which.
Ohio. That's what Pam said.
Ohio, that's right, yeah. They're working on another one, yep.
Yeah,
so
wow.
So just, you know, speak to everyone you know and do what you can to support by contacting your legislators and also plant a garden, because that's the best way to take back control of your food. You know what you're growing and what you've put on it or what you haven't put on it, better yet. And we can really start to take back control of our food that way.
Organic gardens is something we're going to be having in the future. Diana, one more time, slowly give you a way that people can reach so they get major information, what's going on around the country and what's going on with your activities. Please, slowly.
I would suggest to find us at gmofreeusa.org, and also on Facebook. One of the things that we do with our Facebook page is we do share breaking news. It's a great source of information. And if you'd like to get into, you know, joining the discussion on GMOs, to join our closed Facebook group, which is also GMO Free USA.
Diana, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. I'd like to have you on again in about 4 weeks to give the latest reports on what's going on with some of the states, especially the East and possibly in the Midwest. All right?
Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for spreading the word about the Kellogg's and Gerber boycotts. You're awesome.
Yes. We're going to do that, and as long as you keep us, send me some more email information if you can, more information about the boycott and which products we should boycott and not take.
Do we have a sec to mention those?
Pardon me?
Do we have a second to mention those?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Take a minute.
Okay, Kellogg's is responsible for making Pringles potato chips. They're not really potato, although they are called chips. Keebler cookies, Cheez-Its, Morningstar products, Kashi, Bear Naked, believe it or not, is also Townhouse crackers, low-fat granola, Nutri-Grain bars, fruity snacks, and all the regular cereals and Eggo waffles and Pop-Tarts that you usually see in the grocery stores.
Do you have a special website for where people can check out which foods we should boycott?
On our GMOfreeUSA.org site, there will shortly be a list of all these products. We have a lovely graphic which is going to be put up on the site.
Good, and I want to be able to get that information and spread the word out. from time to time on this radio show, not just when you were a parent.
I will email it to you.
Please do, as much as you can, especially the boycott. That's a favorite thing of mine as far as how we can change things with the monsters that are running this world.
Okay. We certainly can, and we will. Thank you so much.
You're wonderful. You're great. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on. What a wonderful show. Diana Reeves, and previous to that, Pam Leary. I want to make some announcements, and then I'm going to give you a little wordage on what we're going to do for the next few weeks. First of all, as Pam just alluded to earlier, at Venice High School today, and if any of you are in the Southern California area, Venice High School is on a street called Venice Boulevard. It's about 2 miles east of the beach. I think the cross street near there is Beethoven, like in the great singer. That's going to be today, I think she said 4 o'clock till 7, and they're going to have a town hall and get together, speak about all the issues going on, about what's going on in California, the organizing issues, how we're going to get on the ballot in California, and how we should support Washington up north. As you can see, there's regional work going on here. We're doing a lot of work on the West Coast to support each other. We don't just support the West Coast. We're supporting everyone. As we said earlier, this is Connecticut and Vermont. As we said, Vermont and Mass and Connecticut are in the books. Wonderful, and we're eastern part of the country. There's a lot going on. There's also a lot of things going on all over the country, as we said. We're going to give you more and more reports on this as we go along. Well, I'll do the reports myself, as well as having people on like Pam Leary and Diana Reed. Excuse all the noise in the background. I don't know if you're hearing all that noise. Every now and then we have that problem. We will work to make sure it's not going on. Next week, we're going to talk about civil rights. In fact, at the end of the show, we're going to hear the whole song by Joan Baez, We Shall Overcome. That was one of the major theme songs in the civil rights movement. And we're going to hear that song. My name is Bobby Elias. Here's how you can reach me. Reach me at 323-770-1925. And the name of the show, please, if you like the show, rate us on iTunes. The name of this show is Let's Create a Better World. We're injecting power aging into the show more and more, health into the show more and more. Health covers a lot of territory, including exercise, health, exercise, yoga, dance. We're really going to go to town and do a lot of good things on this show, so continue to stay with us on this show despite the little noise we're hearing in the background right now. Next week, civil rights. Also, there's a Gary Noel meeting we're going to have 8 days from now on August the 25th in Southern California at a place called The Gateway, 2501 South Barrington Avenue, West Los Angeles, 2 p.m. We're going to have Dr. Sarah Larson speak. She's been a co-host and a guest on this show. She's a doctor, medical intuitive, and a third-generation palm reader. She's fantastic. 2 weeks ago, she and I really got into the health project. All right, and let's spend some time and hear this great song, because I think we're rolling along. No, we have a few more minutes, I think. As soon as I hear the song coming on, I'll shut up and let the song play entirely. It's a song by Joan Baez back in the 60s called We Shall Overcome. And next week, we're going to talk about the 50-year anniversary. I want you all to look in your areas and try to find some activists that are doing something on this issue to celebrate what happened 50 years ago. Okay, let's hear the song called We Shall Overcome by Joan Baez, and we're signing off. This is Bobby Elias. Thank you for coming in. Make sure you rate us on iTunes.